Hello to all of you out there. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for listening to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this marvelous Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Contrasting shows today. Will you be able to tell me at the end of the show, which is the drama? Which one is the comedy? We're going to start out with the comedy, of course. We're going to journey out to the land where I was raised, Independence, Missouri, where they are about to go on the boards with Young Frankenstein, yes, the musical, patterned after the movie, originally, I guess, written by Mel Brooks. We'll cover all that in the show. Here to tell us all about the show that opens this Thursday, the 24th. It has lots of... It has all the humor with songs added from the motion picture. And here to tell us all about it is the director, of course. How many times has Nino Cassisi actually been on this program?
I'm going to say about 13.
Really?
Good old lucky 13, maybe.
Really? It seems like more.
It probably has been more. I don't know. I lost count.
It probably has been. Nino, of course, is directed everywhere. That's the reason he's on here so much. He's directed in Independence, Lee Summit. What about Blue Springs?
I've done Blue Springs.
Yeah, name some of the other ones.
Wyandotte Players, Olathe Community Theater, Barn Players, Paradise Playhouse, Leavenworth, Bell Road Barn.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. He closed, I guess, the Wyandotte Theater.
Yes, I single-handedly. No.
Did you ever direct at the Bell Road Bar?
I did.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
There's two for two.
That's a pattern here.
No, Bell Road's still going on.
Yeah.
They're still going strong. But yes.
Nino directs Young Frankenstein. It's a musical, kind of patterned after the movie. I guess the movie had some musical numbers in it.
It did. It had, of course, Putting on the Ritz, which is the monster hit from the show.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun. But yeah, he wrote, Mel Brooks wrote 16 brand new songs for the show. A lot of them, if you don't know the show, you probably have never heard. But they fit the show so well. Every character it's like he took a line from the show and said, oh, that sounds like a musical title, and then turned it into a song.
Yeah.
Like Rolling the Hay is one of the big ones.
Well, with his success, of the producers, he probably thought he could take the same basic thought process and apply it to other stories.
Absolutely. And he's doing it again in 2017.
And which show is he going to do
that? He is bringing Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that ought to be cute.
To the stage.
That ought to be cute. Yeah, yes. They'll have to do some editing, probably.
No, Mel does not edit his stuff, as we found out very clearly with this show.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chad Burris is also with us as well. He plays the role of Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
That's what I thought, yes. He has appeared previously with City Theater of Independence, the Lee Summit Theater Group, Blue Springs Theater Group, Johnson County Theater in the Park. We want to add anything?
Generally all around.
Generally all around.
Wherever I can get a part, wherever they'll have me.
Christopher Merle?
Merle.
Merle? Oh, I had it right before the show, didn't I? He plays the role of Frederick Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
That's what I thought, yes. He has been away from theater for 13 years. Was that ordered by the court?
No, I just left Kansas City. I did in Columbia. I was at Columbia Entertainment Company, Trips, Columbia College Stage, and Maplewood Barn.
It's back in my days in Columbia, Missouri, it would have been hard to imagine a community theater down there.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them now, so it's actually a thriving.
Do they still have the Maneater newspaper?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yep. Certainly remember the Maneater. They take that more seriously now, of course. But he has appeared in Columbia, Missouri, and he's back. You actually appeared at City Theater before.
Yep.
You took that long hiatus.
Yeah, 13 years ago, I played Jonathan Harker in Dracula. So, kind of completing the circle here at this point.
Yeah, do you like that kind of role?
I guess, yeah. The butt of all the jokes. Yeah, that's how this works out. So. Yeah.
Landis Merle plays the role of Inga. Go ahead, correct me.
Merle.
Merle. Plays the role of Inga.
Yes.
You're not calling it Inga
nope,
or anything?
Just, okay. You got it right.
All right.
Easy peasy.
She has appeared with the Lee Summit Theater Group, the Living Room, City Theater of Independence, the Paradise Players. Was that the one that Nino?
Yeah, I've been in. This is my fifth show in a row with Nino, actually. He can't get rid of me, and he loves it.
Oh. Well, good for him. You also recently directed at the Corbin Theater.
I did.
Tiny little, but nice little spot there on the square in Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. What did you direct up there?
I did Greater Tuna, actually. It's a two-man show. We managed to put it together in about 4 weeks, which was incredible.
That is an intimate space.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Very much. It very much is. Not, but that's not true of Young Frankenstein. No. Nino, you have a pretty big cast.
Yes, we have 16 very talented cast members in the show.
Everyone, well, almost everyone is familiar with the basic story. It's a little different, of course, the movie. Well, there's the original Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Yes.
And she actually wrote with some political implications in her storyline. That kind of, I guess, went out the door with the
It did. Mel went a totally different route. He went the more comical route with this one.
Well, let's catch up a little bit on the storyline for those who haven't seen the movie in a while, or perhaps never saw the movie. We picked this up years later after the destruction of the monster, we think, and the castle and all of that.
Yes. Well, Victor von Frankenstein has just recently passed away and has left his entire fortune and estate, rather, to his grandson, who is Frederick Frankenstein. He changed his name because he doesn't want to be associated with the Frankensteins.
Yeah,
and that's the big gimmick throughout the entire show. He's always pronouncing his name correctly, according to him. So he takes off and goes to get his fortune, and that's when he meets these irregular people who run the establishment. There's Frau Blücher, who every time... Thank you. Every time you hear the name, you hear Winnie of a horse in the background. And Igor, however you look at it, who is the servant of the house, kind of the, what would you call him?
He's the henchman.
Henchman, there you go.
He's my henchman. Yes,
and he has gotten a laboratory assistant named Inga, who is a blonde bombshell, to help him with his work, if you will. And that's where we meet all these colorful, colorful characters.
Yeah, he doesn't have any interest in copying grandfather's work, though.
Oh, absolutely not. Uh-huh. They have to talk him into it. He doesn't want to do it, continuously doesn't want to do it, makes comments he doesn't want to do it, and then finds out it can work and does it.
Now, Igor is actually Igor from the original story, correct?
Yes. Yeah. In the original story, it's Igor.
Yes. But he changed his name also. So
yes, because in addition to Frederick being Victor von Frankenstein's grandson, Igor is Igor's grandson, because my grandfather used to work for your grandfather.
I see.
That's the line of the show.
It becomes more clear now.
Yes.
The fogginess is starting to burn away. So are you one of the main catalysts in convincing him to go this route?
Definitely, yeah. We all are very excited about it. From the beginning, I'm trying to coerce him and tell him it's going to be like old times, you and me, together again for the first time, as a matter of fact.
And
yep, song title.
Christopher is Frederick Frankenstein.
Hello. Oh, it's Frankenstein.
That's right. You have to pick up the cues.
That's right. I'll catch it. We're almost open. I'll
what's
get there.
The reason that he goes to Transylvania to begin?
It's actually because he receives a telegram that his grandfather's estate has been left to him. And so he is going there to collect it, or else it's going to be seized by the Transylvania Tax Authority.
So, I guess the original idea is to get possession and then sell?
Yes, just basically go settle everything and head straight back to New York and go back to his American life.
But somehow he is convinced that there are other fish to fry.
Yes, these colorful characters in a variety of ways, some more adult than others, convince him that the science is sound and that he can actually do this, and so... it's sort of the science that drives him into trying it.
Knowing how the townspeople feel about it, knowing the disaster that happened to Grandad,
he gets caught up. Uh-oh. He gets sort of caught up in the same mania that his grandfather had. So by the end of the show, he's sort of accepting more his past. Uh-huh. So
Landis is Inga.
Yes.
Well, how does she come to be in this place at this time?
Igor actually hires Inga to help Dr. Frankenstein. And she actually kind of convinces him to stay in the first place. He's not even interested in doing any wacky work or crazy monsters or whatever. And then Inga shows up and he's like, well, okay, we can try this. That's all right.
Igor's really not pretty enough to convince him on his own, so he has to rely on Inga.
I see.
Good luck for that.
You know, jumping around in a hay cart and, you know, just putting things where they need to be to entice the doctor to stick around.
Well, he needs to be enticed, does he?
A little bit. A little bit. But it is successful.
Yeah. The show has a lot of songs. You mentioned that Brooks wrote, what did you say, 13 new songs?
I believe 15 or 16 brand new songs, along with Putting on the Ritz, which was Irving Berlin's hit.
Oh, yeah. A big one, too. Now, tell me about the songs that you sing there, Mr. Igor.
Yeah, I think the first thing that Frederick and Igor sing is really the big vaudeville, cheesy Jimmy Durante Together Again for the First Time number that's a duet that we have where we sing and dance. And it is a very vaudeville style number. It's a lot of fun. A couple other things that we do, or should I say that Igor does. Transylvania Mania, which is another big dance number. Yes. When the Inspector Kemp and the villagers find out and want to go see what's going on at the castle, they show up at the door unannounced. Unbeknownst to them, we have been creating a monster and bringing him back to life, and they hear him groaning in the background in the distance, and Igor interprets the groans, trying to play it off, and he starts making up noises and singing a song that sounds like the monster groaning, and it turns into Transylvania Mania, the new dance craze that's sweeping everything in Transylvania.
Now, is singing is hard enough with that accent? Is that you sing in that accent?
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is Igor's accent is a little different. It's all over the place. Sometimes it's just lightly cockney, and sometimes it's full-on ridiculous. So there's a lot of fun. He has a lot of room to play with. I like it a lot.
Yeah, but he gets no sympathy from me because I have to sing in a goofy Transylvanian accent.
That's true. That's true.
You get no sympathy from me, sir.
Sounds like worth the price of admission, right?
That's true. Very much so.
Hear all that. Christopher, numbers as Frederick?
There are a lot. I don't really leave the stage in the first act. My first song is The Brain, which is back in New York.
Oh, The Brain.
And it is Frederick giving lecture. His medical students are there, and it's sort of him. You see the first sort of signs that he does have some of his grandfather in him, as he is sort of neurotically obsessed with the study of the brain. Then we go into Together Again, which I get to sing with Chad as Igor, which is wonderful. What else in the front? Oh, Life, when we're finally bringing the monster to life, is a really large, more dramatic number, actually. Those are the two, I think, sort of big ones for me. I also sing Man About Town and Putting on the Ritz, which are both to and or with the monster. And it's sort of Nino mentioned earlier that Mel seemed to sort of take a line from the show and turn it into a song. And in the movie, he refers to the monster as a sophisticated man about town. And so there's a song convincing the monster that he can do this. And so that's one of my favorite numbers now in the show. So.
Are the townspeople skeptical of your showing up in town?
Yes. It's not great. I won't give it away, but the end gets a little rough for Frederick. Everything turns out all right in the end, but it gets a little hairy for a moment.
Does it really?
A little bit.
So. We may need to shave it.
Wow.
Just a little time off the end of the show.
And that's why he's Igor.
Okay, what about Landis? What's numbers in this Swedish accent?
Yeah, the big Inga numbers are my intro, which is Roll in the Hay, where we're taking Dr. Frankenstein up to the castle, and we're on a hayride to get there, and, you know, we're just having a good old roll in the hay. Nothing, you know.
Nothing untoward?
Nothing untoward at all.
But this is a family show, right, Nina?
Yeah, about that. It's a family show to a point. I would say PG-13, if you wanted to give it a rating. Because it does hit some pretty risque scenes and innuendos. And if you know Mel Brooks, then he writes kind of tongue in cheek and very innuendo. I'll just say innuendo.
It does get body
on occasion.
Yeah, Brooks can be body.
We are embodying that.
We play real hard into it, especially Inga, because that's pretty much her whole character. And which goes into the song that I have in Act 2, which is called Listen to Your Heart, where Inga is trying to convince the doctor, you know, you're so stuck up in your brain all the time and you're the smartest guy ever, but, you know, you gotta take a break and listen to your heart every now and then. And she kind of seduces him into that way of thinking.
Tell me about your costumes for this show. Might be very interesting.
Yeah, they might. my costumes are very... They're a little revealing. They're a little risque.
I think body.
Body.
Body,
body risque.
Although I do get a fancy dress for Ritz.
That's true.
A lot of it is just... You know, little TNA going on.
I'll bet. Now, the monster especially, I would think the costuming and the makeup and all of that you had to come up with somebody really good to help you with that.
Yes, we're actually sticking to the original look for Frankenstein, if you will, to a point. We can't like do his head.
It's not going to be squared off.
It'll be squared off in its own right. They do call him Zipper Neck throughout the entire show. So, the costuming and the makeup is going to be really cool for the show. Renee Purty Wood has done the costuming for the show, and she's gone like 15 different ways to find a costume.
That's true.
And we're going pretty authentic with the original look for 1934.
Yeah. Now, what about some of the others? Any challenges, especially for Igor there?
Oh, I think the most thing for Igor is just trying to understand exactly where he's coming from, because he's a lovable buffoon. He really is. He so desperately wants to see this dream that he has of seeing a monster come to life. It was his dream. His grandfather did it. And trying to make it happen for himself is a wonderful thing.
So this is a show of unfulfilled dreams.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, what about the doctor as well?
Well, I mean, so Frederick has spent most of his life trying to distance himself from this man that everybody knows. And it's made quite clear in the beginning of the show that everyone knows that it's him. So it isn't like the changing his name has convinced anyone or fooled anyone, and he's constantly called Frankenstein. And so throughout the beginning, especially before I'm convinced, there's a lot of those moments where you can see his grandfather in him, but he's sort of fighting it, and it's sort of about giving in to what you secretly actually want. Okay. So...
Yeah, so he is convinced that if he can fulfill grandfather's ambitions, this will fulfill him.
I almost think that there are times it's done in spite of his grandfather, he wants to prove that he's smarter. He wants to prove that he knows more. There's actually lines about the fact that I've come up with scientific breakthroughs that my grandfather wouldn't have been able to do. So there is this sort of challenge that if my grandfather could do it, and I'm clearly a better scientist than he is, then I can do more. And so that, I think, is sort of a running piece of it, is this trying to best this man that I never met.
Oh, and you do, in fact, do more.
I do. Well, it is true. The brain transference, which is a classic scene from the movie, is sort of the one-up that Frederick has over his grandfather, is making the monster intelligent as opposed to just animating dead tissue. So.
That's true. Yeah, the original, you go a step beyond.
That's right. Exactly.
The original purpose. The scenery, the special effects, probably a big part of the show, I'm going to guess.
Yes. We have built... Actually, I shouldn't say we. RJ Parrish has worked... tremendous amount of hours to build in a castle that is just, it's two stories of just set love, if you will. It's just, it's got the dungeon, it's got the hermit's house, it's got a giant hay cart. Yeah. I mean, it's got little bits and pieces that they're going to enhance every scene for this show. The special effects, we've got a lot of special effects. We're not going to go into too many of the special effects because we want the audience to be surprised. But there are some stuff that a lot of people probably haven't thought about bringing to the musical. So we're kind of excited.
Well, it's harnessing the lightning is a big part of this.
Exactly. And we do have the harnessing of the lightning.
The stage will light up.
Yes, yes. Yes, we have a lot of... The special effects are just... They're going to rock. That's all I
mentioned
say.
Some of the characters that aren't here today.
There's several. Of course, Frau Blücher. with the winning... Literally it's mandatory. one of the iconic roles from the show, played by Cloris Leachman in the original. Ruth Biggis tackles that role and just outshines Cloris. Sorry, love Cloris. then, of course, Inspector Kemp.
Elizabeth
Benning, played by
Charlotte
Gilman, who if these three sitting in front of me do not do their job, she is going to steal the show.
Uh-oh. That is 100% accurate.
She is so on. Help me, guys. My brain.
Stephen Howard is a monster.
Stephen Howard is a monster, and he's
Emerson.
Like 6'7" by the time we get done with his shoes.
Emerson Rapp as the blind hermit.
Harold
the Blind Hermit.
So you cast a tall actor as the monster.
And we made him taller. Yeah, he's going to be close to 7.
His waist is roughly my shoulder height when he's in his costume.
Cool.
I mean, I'm a short fellow anyway, but it's just ridiculous.
It's pretty funny when he strangles him. It just, he doesn't have to try hard.
Yeah,
he's just
he doesn't
right
even
there.
Reach down.
No, like he's, he doesn't even have to bend over. He's just like reaching his arms down.
A good strangling is not to be missed.
It's mandatory.
Show opens this Thursday, the 24th. Is it all coming together?
Yes, it is coming together perfectly. We got a great orchestra, the costumes, the sets. It's going to be such a treat to see this show come to life,
literally on stage. Opens this Thursday, the 24th, 8:00 p.m. Performances continue on Friday, the 25th at 8, Saturday, the 26th at 8. No afternoon matinee on Easter Sunday. You don't think that would be appropriate to bring back to life?
No. No, we'd have to move the stone, and that would... We do have a cave. If that helps. Okay,
although,
maybe not.
Maybe so.
Maybe so.
Performances continue the next weekend after that, Thursday the 31st, Friday the 1st, April Fool's Day. You will have a show.
Yes. I can't wait.
I didn't think about that. That's terrible.
Friday, April 1st, 8:00 p.m., Saturday the 2nd at 8. Then they will have a matinee on Sunday the 3rd at 2:00 p.m. at City Theater of Independence. That is located at the Sermon Center, which is... the intersection where a lot of things happen in Independence. Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence. The Sermon Center is there, where three theater groups are housed, all part of the foundation that has set things up. There's City Theater, there's the Children's Theater, and then there's the Senior Players.
Yes,
right?
The Encore Players, yes.
And they all perform at the Sermon Center in Independence. The number to call for more information is 816-325-7367, or you can make your purchases online at citytheaterofindependence.org. In fact, you can go to that website and probably get a lot of interesting information about the performers, the show, things of that nature. What they look like in costume? Are there pictures like that there?
No, we're saving that for the patrons.
That's right.
You get to see them in their full costume,
My reveal is is something.
Although I did see the program. My hair is dark in that picture.
Is it?
Whoops. So.
We promise she'll be blonde.
Yes, she will be blonde.
Being a blonde bombshell would involve being a blonde.
Yes,
that's true.
It certainly helps.
Well, you look pretty blonde now.
Yeah, getting there.
She has till Thursday. Sounds like a very interesting show. The scary aspect, you said PG-13. Is that more for the risqueness?
That's more for the adult 100%. Humor that's embedded in a Mel Brooks production.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it would be too frightening for children.
No. Not terribly.
No, it's not frightening. It's more comical. Yeah. Comical frightening, if you will.
Well, the show opens this Thursday, runs for two weekends, not on Easter Sunday, and then a second weekend as well, at the Sermon Center, corner of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence. The number to call, once again, for more information is 816-235-7367, or go online to their website, citytheaterofindependence.org. The work of Mel Brooks comes alive again, and you told me he's preparing another musical version of one of his films, which undoubtedly will become another Mel Brooks film, a musical version.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, they're still working on it, but from what I read through all the tabloids, then Blazing Saddles will be going on in roughly 2017, early 2018.
Now, when you direct that in several years...
I've already done two of his... the only two he's written.
Yeah, when you direct that in several years, you might have to make some edits.
It depends on the theater.
That's true.
But it could go from a PG-13 to at least an NC-17. But I don't know.
A little rougher.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to go too dark with it or too bawdy. It's bawdy in its own right, but it does hit some pretty situational tones, if you will.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you for coming. Nino Cassisi, the director. He's directed everywhere. He's currently directing Young Frankenstein at City Theater in Independence. Chad Burris, who plays the role of Igor.
Yes, thank you very much. Please come see the show. We're excited to present it and show it off to everybody.
Okay, you didn't correct me and say Igor.
Oh, no, but it is Igor.
Chris Morrell, who plays the role of Frederick Frankenstein.
Right? Frankenstein is pronounced Frankenstein.
Good. Landis Merrill, who plays the role of Inga.
Mm-hmm. Can't get that one wrong if you try.
Gonna be more blonde come Thursday night.
It's gonna be great.
That's right. When it hits the boards.
That's right.
Starting this Thursday, the 24th at 8:00 p.m. for basically two weekends, but not an afternoon on Sunday this weekend. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
We're gonna take a brief break. Then when we return, we have much more to bring your way. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host, part of the Arts lineup here on KKFI. We have a pretty good one, I think. You have Arts Magazine on Monday at noon, Arts Speak Radio on Wednesday at noon, other shows throughout the week. We'll have topics of an artistic nature as well, all part of the Arts lineup to bring what's going on in the community to you right here on KKFI, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. Welcome back to the show. We're going to change gears here. We're going to go from hilariously funny to a more serious topic, more thought-provoking, at least. The White Theater of the Johnson County Community Center, which I have to remember to say the J, because they want to be called the J now.
It's the Jewish Community Center.
Yeah, and they want to be called the J, so I'm going to try my best to call them the J. They are presenting the show Kinder Transport, based on actual events that happened during World War II, with us to tell us all about the show, Margaret Vegland, who plays the role of Ava, and Ellie Deshawn, who plays the role of Evelyn in the show. It's kind of maybe I should let you explain it. It's a rescue mission, and Kinder because it's children.
Right. A lot of people aren't familiar with the Kinder Transport, but after Kristallnacht in 1939 in Germany, the Jewish people in England went to the government and said, we need to get the children out of Germany. And so they had families, people who volunteered to take the children in, and they put these kids on the train, 10,000 of them over time, with Germany, Austria, and Poland, I believe. Mm-hmm. 10,000 of them they evacuated to England, and they went to live with foster families until the war was over.
And this is basically the story of how all this happened?
Yeah, it's the story of a young girl. Her name's Eva, and she's Jewish and living in Germany, and her mom decides it's better to keep her safe if she sends her to England. So she has to go by herself on a train to England, to a country where she doesn't speak the language, she doesn't know anyone there, and she just has to learn to adapt until her mom comes back. And just hope that she does come back.
Yeah. 10,000 children, as you said, were placed in foster homes, including Kansas City's own Esther Berg as well.
Yeah. Right.
She was part of the part of the Kinder transport, so she probably remembers quite a bit. Is she still around? Did you get a chance to talk with her?
Yes, she is. And as a matter of fact, our last performance, she'll be doing a talk back after the show, which will be really interesting. And we as actors had a chance to chat with her a little bit. She
What kind of things did she have to say about it?
She remembered a lot. She was in her, I think, was she 14? She was 14 when she was on. So she was a little bit older than some of the other kids. And unfortunately, at that age, a lot of the girls ended up being housekeepers and nannies and things like that. They thought they were going to get to continue school, but uh-huh. they had to do that for a while because that's what the families who took them in wanted them to do for room and board. And so that's what Esther did. She was nanny to a couple of children in this household, and she did that for a while. She eventually did get to go back to school, I believe. But she remembers very vividly a lot of the detail of that time.
With such traumatic events happening in your life, how could a kid not remember that? And I would imagine some of her memories are probably pretty vivid as well.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's an amazing woman to talk to because she's so grateful. Like everything she said was so, as much as this experience was awful and it was horrible, she had to go through that, she was so grateful that she was one of the 10,000 children that was saved. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. I would think so as well. Well, how do you fit into the storyline? Ellie plays the role of Evelyn.
We both play the same person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Evelyn and Eva are the same person.
Yes, they are. Eva is Margaret plays all of the plays her through from age 9 leaves Germany through 17. So the play's done in flashbacks.
So chronologically speaking, I should go to you first.
Yeah, so
what happens in her life?
Eva leaves Germany when she's 9. She goes by herself to England without her mom or her dad, and she meets a woman who takes care of her and kind of becomes her mother. She's supposed to be her foster mother, but her mom is sent to a concentration camp, and the letters from her mom just stop arriving. So eventually, Eva just has to learn cope with the fact that her mom's not coming back to get her, and she just has to live with what happened and adjust to where she is. And that's really traumatizing for Evelyn, which is the older character of Eva. So
Evelyn, okay,
yeah. So the show is kind of in Evelyn's memory and her flashbacks.
Yeah, yeah. She lost her mother and her grandmother.
That was Esther.
That was, okay.
Esther lost her mother and her grandmother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Evelyn lost both.
Lost her dad.
Lost her dad. We don't want to give away too much.
We don't want to give away the end.
Sure.
Part of the story.
Oh, sure.
She believes her mother is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that you make the transition to later years.
Right.
How do you?
So I am now Evelyn. I'm a British citizen. I have a daughter, a family of my own, and I am a proper British citizen, and really have kind of just buried and just kind of disassociated from all of that experience in Germany altogether until my daughter, Faith, finds a box of photos and letters between me and my mother. And she starts asking a lot of questions. So she starts opening up some wounds that Evelyn does not want opened. But eventually, the story, she has to give up the story to Faith to let her know what happened. And it's really very difficult. There's some wounds there that really haven't healed. They've just been covered up, and she has to rip those open again to tell the story.
And I can see both sides. Yeah. I can see why they would need to be opened up. I can also understand why she would not want to. Right. Some memories are just too painful.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Especially a situation like that that was so evil,
exactly.
So awful.
The ripples
in so many
of it
ways.
Just keep going. It just keeps going and going. And
it affects people today. It affects mm-hmm. their survivors today mm-hmm. as well.
Right.
While this is not about the Holocaust per se,
right.
I guess you both mentioned earlier that you had been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. Yeah. I've been to the one in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Until you go to a place like that, I suppose you know the impact of it because you've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen things. But until you see actual things from the era, some of the actual stories. It is massively mind-blowing to see that. The one in Jerusalem is a huge place. Is the one in Washington similarly large?
Yeah. No, it's an amazing museum.
It is, yeah. And the nice thing about it is it's entirely free. And really, at the end of your trip through there, they have all the uplifting stories of the people who were saviors. And so you don't leave there feeling depressed. You leave there feeling lifted for the people who work so hard to save lives. And so, you do leave there with a good feeling. So,
sure. Well, the story of Kinder Transport, the play, you know, it's not widely known. I don't know that there's a play about it. Obviously, you're doing it. Written by Diane Samuels. Did she have some connection? Do you know what drove her to write the play?
She learned about it. I'm not 100% sure how she learned about the subject, but she just became completely fascinated by it. And actually, in the back of our script, there's testimonies from survivors that she had talked to that helped inspire the show. So the whole play, it isn't a real person. Eva's not a real person, but her experiences in the play are kind of inspired by real survivors that Diane Samuels talked to.
Yeah, that kind of helps protect the privacy of some of the people involved. But she undoubtedly talked to many and kind of condensed it down into this character, young. And more mature as you go through life. Yep, the show is called Kinder Transport. It opens on Saturday, March the 26th, at the J, the Jewish Community Center of Kansas City, in the White Theater. That's the name of the theater on campus. Shows continue on Sunday the 27th at 2:00. There is a special presentation. I don't know. Do we even want to talk too much about this on the 29th for school children?
Yes, we are doing a performance for the school kids. You do have to call the box office to request getting tickets for that one. I think they're trying to save as many seats as they can for the kids.
Oh, sure.
So if you're interested in that performance, I think they're going to hand out some educational materials and things there, too. But you need to call the box office to find out if they have seats available.
Yes, it says here on the notes, a special school performance is set for Wednesday, March 29th at 9 a.m. with curriculum materials prepared by the Midwest Center for Holocaust Education. Those interested in attending the school performance should contact the J box office at 913-327-8054 or the J's main desk at 913-327-8000. Just think how, because a lot of those young people probably are not familiar with the story. Just imagine how real it would bring it to them.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how many people who aren't familiar with the Kinder Transport. I wasn't. I knew nothing about it. And it was such a huge undertaking. I'm surprised.
Yeah, how do things like that get lost in history?
I'm a middle school student, so I know personally learning about the Holocaust, which we don't... you learn more about that in high school, but the Kinder Transport is never mentioned. And I don't know how, because it was huge and really important, but I had no idea what it was. And when I tell people about the show, I have not found a person who is really educated about what the Kinder Transport was, and that's why it's so important that we tell this story.
I'd heard about it only in passing. It was not a big story, as it were, maybe at the time, but maybe not. Maybe, I'm speculating now, maybe they kept the story under wraps to protect some of the people that assisted with that.
I know in the early 2000s, the early part of this century, there was a documentary made, which is called Into the Arms of Strangers, which is excellent. It actually won some awards. It may have won an Academy Award.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Won the Oscar
for that. And that one's available at the library. You can pick that up at the library and just borrow it for no charge. But it really, I watched that one. It was really helpful to me to understand what some of the kids experienced.
Did you feel the desire to do a lot of study? Did your director, Darren Sextro, did he encourage that?
He provided some information to us, but I did some research on my own, and not a lot. But I did watch that documentary, and then I read a little short book written from a children's perspective. Just to kind of get an idea of what it was like for the kids and what did it mean to them when they became adults. How did that affect their adult lives?
Yeah.
So
it says here, the story of the relationship between mothers and daughters, the mother and daughter bonds that are broken and created by outside forces, the meaning of love between mothers and daughters, and the impact of dishonesty between mothers and daughters, the story of self-identity, that we can choose our own backstory, or is it chosen for us by our heritage? I guess she was so affected by all of this that it kind of creates an identity for you that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, but you had no choice because of the circumstances involved.
Right, and it also has a big effect on Evelyn's daughter, because when Faith, her daughter, finds all these things, her entire life is changed, because she didn't know that any of this went on in her family. She didn't know that her mother was Jewish. She didn't know that her mother was German, and that's something that's really important to her. And it kind of changes her life and her outlook on life.
I wonder why she never... To shelter her, perhaps?
I think Evelyn is very much a broken person. And I think that she truly suffered from being sent away from her family and sent to a place where she didn't speak the language. And she was just totally at the mercy of the people who were there. I don't think she ever allowed those wounds to heal, and she kind of builds up this wall around herself, including not even letting her daughter in. Uh-huh. And so she's just trying to protect that little girl that lives inside of her. So she never really can bring herself to talk about it much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that would be difficult to bring up.
Right.
It really would. Right. The word they used in the release was dishonesty. Was it really dishonesty, or just maybe protecting your own feelings and then maybe protecting the daughters as well? Do you think there's a feeling? I'm asking in general. Do you think there's a feeling in the back of one's mind that, you know, this could happen again?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary to think, but the fact that it happened once means that it could always happen again.
Yes, and people forget that.
Yeah, which is why it's so important for people to learn about these things. And, like, once again, I've been so excited to do this show just because it's such an important story for people to hear that I don't think people hear enough, especially this particular story. So I'm really glad I got to be a part of that.
Was this a role that when you heard about it, you definitely wanted to do it? No question?
Yeah, I was so excited because Darren, the director, I had worked with him before, and he told me about the part, and I was so excited because I love working with Darren. I love working at the J, and it's been a really fun experience for me to work on what I love doing. So I enjoyed that.
And that's a great theater. It really is.
Yeah.
The physical layout is just perfect. They can fly in scenery. I don't think any of that's necessary for your show. But they can. They have the ability to fly in scenery. It's a very professionally operated theater.
It is. We have a marvelous set. We have great tech people. And so it's a very professional situation to work in. So it's really nice as an actor.
I'll bet so. We're speaking with Margaret Vagland, who plays the role of Ava?
Eva.
Yeah. And Ellie Deshaun, who plays the role of Evelyn.
Right.
Evelyn would be the actual name, and the young lady they just call Eva. Mm-hmm. And in the White Theater Jewish Community Center production of Kinder Transport, for more information, you can go to, well, the number to call, I should say, for more information. I gave out some numbers earlier. I'm going to start confusing people, I know. The box office number, other than for the school student visit. The number to call the regular box office is 913-327-8054. You can also go online at thejkc.org. They changed their branding, so it's not as long of a website now, but you get the same information. You learn about the show, the times, and all of that. The Jewish Community Center was established more than 100 years ago at the Jewish Community Center here in Kansas City. I remember being in a show, actually two, myself, when they were over on Holmes.
Oh, really?
Back in the 70s, many years ago. I was in.
You've just dated yourself.
Well, anyone that listens knows. But yeah, so you have you're not the only two in the cast. There are five, and it looks like they're all ladies.
Yes, except for one. Justin Speer plays all the men's roles.
I see. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They have him listed as Rat Catcher.
Yes.
Is that one of his roles?
Well, the rat catcher is a character in a storybook of Eva's.
Yeah, Eva grows up with this story. It's about this horrible figure. It's a real German, like, fairy tale they would tell the kids. And the story is, if the kids are ungrateful and they don't count all their blessings, then the rat catcher will come and do awful things. So he's kind of this underlying theme throughout the show. When things happen, you sometimes see the shadow of the rat catcher, because he's kind of this symbol for Eva of everything that went wrong in her life. Mm-hmm. And the same actor who plays the rat catcher plays all the male characters, because that's, once again, kind of a symbol of what went wrong for Eva and everything bad that's happened in her life.
Yeah, kind of symbolic, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On many different levels as well. Jessica France, who plays the role of Faith. Right. How does she fit into the show?
Faith is Evelyn's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And she's the one who finds the pictures and the letters and discovers her mother's past.
See, I can understand her being confused about it, but she should more consider the mother's situation. The mother went through much more than she has, of course.
Yeah, and Evelyn has some idiosyncrasies, I guess, some things that she fears and some unusual paranoia things that her daughter never understood. And she'd see her mother have these panic attacks.
Well, can you imagine your life so uplifted and and changed so rapidly, so quickly? I mean, and we're talking about a life-changing incident for these young people, especially at an age like that.
And Faith feels very strongly, very dedicated to the idea that she needs to protect the memory of her family. She doesn't want them to be lost in the millions. Uh-huh. She wants to make sure that she understands it so that their memory won't be lost.
Yeah, Pam Haskin plays the role of Lil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does she fit in?
Yeah, Lil is the British mother. So when Eva gets to England, Lil is the woman who takes her in and becomes her second mother. Mm-hmm. Because Lil is the only character that lives in both time periods. Because the show jumps back and forth between older Evelyn and younger Eva. But Lil just glides back and forth between the two. So she's still with Evelyn as an adult, and Lil is just a really important figure for Eva / Evelyn, because she's taken her in and she's given her things that no one else could. So,
yeah, can you imagine taking on a child after an experience like that? How understanding you would need to be. It would be the challenge of a lifetime.
Well, absolutely. And taking in another mouth to feed and somebody else to be responsible for it, the people really, they really were very generous to do that.
Okay. And we talked about Justin Speer as the role of the rat catcher, but many roles, you said, in the show. So good guys and bad guys.
Yeah. Most of, he's, you know, the postman and the guard at the train station. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's a really helpful person to Eva, but at the same time, all of those characters are kind of suspicious to Eva.
I would be paranoid, I think.
Yeah, they scare her. So he's kind of, none of the characters are other than the rat catcher, are necessarily like cut and dry, good and bad, but she's just terrified of all of these characters, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. And did all of these children go to England? Do they go to other places as well?
No, they were sent all around the world. I don't know all the places. Some were sent to Israel, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, that, yeah. Well, that would have to be after the war years.
Yeah, the majority of them went to England, but wherever they could find people who were willing to take them in, I think most of them went to England, I think, but
oh, sure.
Not all of them, yeah.
Boy, there are stories that are just so inspiring, and you happen to be in one of them. Huh? Yeah. Personally, do you get a lot of gratification from doing that?
Yeah, well, as an actor, this is a really juicy role.
I bet.
It's got a lot of things to chew into, and it's a lot of interesting things to dig into and discover about this character and bring it to life. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been fun as an actor to really have this good of a role to be able to really tear apart.
I mentioned earlier that you had been on with me before when you did Frozen.
Yeah, somehow I'm always cast as the mother, the tragic mother. I think this is my fourth role as the tragic mother.
Really? No light affair for you, Ellie?
Right, and I don't have any kids, so it's always interesting.
I suppose I should ask Margaret, what have you done before? What have people seen you in?
The last show I did at the Jewish Community Center was 2 years ago. I was in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
With the same director, which was probably my favorite role I ever did because I got to play Scout, and I love that story, and I love that book. I've done stuff at the Barn Players, the Fish Tank, the Living Room, Casey Rep, I don't know, all around.
I've interviewed several of the actors that have been in that show, Mockingbird, and they talk about that tragic day, that Sunday afternoon, and how terrible that was.
Yeah, no, that was... that whole afternoon, because that was such a wonderful show to be in and such an important story, and it was just awful that had to happen.
That's what all of your fellow actors who have come on and mentioned that day said. Yeah, terrible thing. But she can currently be seen, along with Ellie Deshaun, in Kinder Transport. Opens on Saturday, March the 26th, 7:30. Performances continue on Sunday the 27th at 2 o'clock p.m. There is a performance for school students only at 9 o'clock a.m. on the 29th. Contact the center for more information about that. Then performances then continue on Saturday, April the 2nd at 7:30, Sunday, April the 3rd at 2 o'clock p.m., a matinee at the White Theater on the campus of the Jewish Community Center. The number to call for more information is 913-327-8054, or you can go online at thejkc.org. Sometimes branding really makes things easier. Yes. Everyone can remember that website.
Absolutely.
Now. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you
for enlightening
us
on the show.
Yeah,
thank you for the story behind the show, which is... just as interesting as the show. I'm sure it's a wonderful show, but the story. When something is based on something that actually happened, that makes it so much better in so many different ways. Margaret Vagelund, who plays the role of Eva. Well, sorry. And Ellie Deshaun, who plays the role of Evelyn.
Right.
In the White Theater, Jewish Community Center production of Kinder Transport, opening on March the 26th at the J. The J located at the Jewish Community Center. It's right by the Sprint campus. Knoll and
115th and Knoll. They're just west of Knoll.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider is next. He has some great jazz planned. So you want to keep your radio right where you have it right now. No need to move at all. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. Then we'll pick up with the blues with Lady D from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.